Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, the Office of Mission Ministry Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you once again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time, April, the month in which National Financial Advisor Day is celebrated. This year, National Financial Advisor Day is going to be Tuesday, April 18th. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Jill Arkwright Harvey, Chartered Financial Analyst, also known as CFA. Jill is a Managing Director and Wealth Advisor with William Blair's Private Wealth Management Group. Jill earned the CFA designation in 1996, and she's a member of the New York Society of Securities Analysts. Not only this, all these great accomplishments, but just as important, if not more important, she has a lifelong dedication to various philanthropic causes, which was instilled in her by her parents and reinforced by her wonderful Jesuit education. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Jill.
Good morning, Brother Greg. Thank you for having me.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from this morning.
I am in Manhasset, New York.
You just made this host and a lot of listeners very, very jealous. One of the most beautiful places on God's green earth, certainly. Jill, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about your incredible background, the work as a financial advisor. We're just going to jump right into the deep end of the pool, if that's okay with you.
Let's do it.
Let's learn a little bit more about you. Were you born in Manhasset and attended elementary and secondary schools there?
No, I grew up in Brooklyn, born and bred. I went to grammar school at St. Edmund's in Marine Park near Sheepshead Bay, and I attended high school Bishop Kearney, and then I went to college in beautiful Worcester, Massachusetts at College of the Holy Cross.
Reverend, we're going to talk in a bit just about that college a little bit more. But just before we want to talk about your college studies, growing up, you were in Brooklyn and in grammar school, high school. Did you
Yes.
always have this dream of being a financial advisor?
No, I did not. My father, Richard Arkwright, this is his craft, his lifelong work, and I actually work with him currently, but so I was exposed to the industry, but it was not until the summer before my senior year of college, I think it was junior year summer, where I did an internship and as a learning to do research analysis and found it fascinating, really fascinating, and realized that this was something I could do every day and never be bored. And that has turned out to be 100% the case.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, you graduate high school in beautiful Brooklyn. You have a decision to make. You do attend college again. Share with us the college and tell us more about your studies there, please.
So I chose Holy Cross It was the best experience of my life, but it was not my first choice. Let's get that out there. But anyway, I ended up there, and it just does go to show you that everything works out. So for every, you know, person applying to some kind of school, and it was the best education I think I could have received. Truly learned to think critically. I was a history major with a concentration in Asian studies. I studied Mandarin and Asian history. And I also took, you know, a whole raft of accounting and economics and banking courses, since that was an interest.
Wow, what a great combination, certainly, those two, taking these economics, finance, accounting classes, along with the history there. Wow. So you are a person of many talents and of great knowledge, and we've known you to be that, certainly, Jill. Now, you graduate college, and I'm sure you probably jumped into the deep end of the workforce very quickly. Share with us, please, some of these highlights of your professional journey since graduating this great school, Holy Cross.
I started out as a buy-side analyst, and I was fortunate my whole career. I've had wonderful role models and mentors, and I worked for a woman, her name was Amy LaGuardia, or still is, I guess. And I can't say enough good things about how much I learned. And I worked for another portfolio manager, Miles Seifert. I learned a ton. And then in 2000, my dad, Richard, asked if I wanted to, you know, take a step up career-wise and start to train to be an investment advisor, which is what I did in 2000, and then worked, I'm so fortunate to say, had a very, you know, we've had a very successful business venture together. We've grown a nice business, and, you know, the stakes are high. But the reward has been great. And I don't mean that monetarily. I mean that, you know, intellectually and emotionally. And for anyone that might be considering working, this is an aside, with a parent, it's complicated, or if any family business is super complicated, but if it is able to be worked out, it's a great reward on many levels.
I was just going to ask you as a follow-up, how is it to work with dad? How was it getting used to that?
Yeah, it was tough. It was really hard. I'm not going to lie. My dad is incredible, incredible man and visionary business-wise. He was tough to work for, demanding. And sometimes, now that I have my own children, you do say things to your children that you might not say to someone that you were just employing. So, but it's been fantastic. I'll be honest. He's taught me so much. I think I've taught him some over the years.
Sure.
And we have not only been able to, you know, really provide a wonderful, seamless transition for our clients, which was his vision initially, but we've had a lot of fun along the way and have been able to see a different side of the other, as opposed to just parent and child, you know, professionally. So there's an incredible, I think it's mutual. I know it's certainly my direction, level of respect. So
it's so amazing. I am blessed with two female siblings, and our late father has left us now over 25 years, but I can still very fondly remember the relationship between dad and my two wonderful sisters, Celeste and Virginia, but they never collaborated professionally. So to be able to not only have that very, very unique and special relationship, father daughter, but to do it professionally, wow, that is incredible. No
yes,
question of that.
It's been a very nice gift. And I know that he actually has worked longer than with me, with our associate, Bernadette Eliason. And He's been an incredible promoter of women in the workplace, for an older, he's not a young man, for an older gentleman. So that's nice to see too.
I'm not surprised, the beautiful Franciscan Catholic that he is, to be very diverse oriented like that, doesn't surprise me at all. Now, as we've said earlier in the show, National Financial Advisor Day, Tuesday, April 18, maybe about 10 days away. Let's go into peel the onion, if that's okay with you. Tell us a little bit more. What are the duties, responsibilities of a financial advisor, please?
It's a terrific, terrific career. It is demanding. It is something that if you do not love, you will never do well, because it's very, very, it can be very challenging. The duties involve servicing your clients' needs completely around the spectrum of their financial needs around the clock.
Wow.
And helping them to really determine what it is their goals are, what they want to accomplish throughout their lifetime financially. And it also involves other aspects than the financial, because they're so tied together, right? Because money is not just for its own purpose.
Sure.
And so that's very interesting as well, because you get to learn a lot about different types of people and different types of institutions. And then it's really sharing with them your years of knowledge and helping them to help themselves. And that's really how I see it. And then on the day-to-day basis, of course, the harder part is the investing side of it.
Wow. So if I get this straight, then someone could be an entrepreneur, a smaller business, or you can have a huge corporation, or you have a religious congregation like ours, but all of us would need and want to have a financial advisor. So you could, as a financial advisor, be servicing a small entity or one that's quite large. Do I perceive that correctly, Jill?
Yes, that's 100%.
Wow. Okay. Now, you incredibly competent dad, certainly incredibly competent. Certain companies, certain education that are needed to becoming a financial advisor. You are a chartered financial analyst. Is this part of the education process? Share a little bit more about that, please.
Sure. For me, it was. I grew up in this business as an analyst, and that means I analyzed companies by looking at their financials, interviewing them, and such. And so it's a rigorous course, work over multiple years to get this degree. It's changed a lot since I did it a very long time ago now. It's changed a lot. It's evolved. It's grown. It's certainly very specific to my field. And so if you were a consultant at McKinsey, you wouldn't do this. But if you were specifically to investments, and it's very helpful. The other thing I would say for anyone perhaps out there considering this field, for me personally, and my experience has been a liberal arts education with finance content is the most useful that you could have, because it teaches you to think critically. You can learn, anyone can learn math, but to learn to have a broad view of the world and to think critically, to develop your own thoughts, based on factual content, is a skill that all those which I have come into contact, all those whom I've come into contact in this field that are most successful, have that liberal arts background.
Right, that is really incredible. And you've mentioned a couple of times this concept, this competence of critical thinking, and how very, very important it is to this wonderful role of being a financial advisor. Now, I've told the listeners I'm getting a bit long in the tooth. I'm in my mid-60s now. And I have seen over the course of my lifetime that continuous learning is important, be it in higher education, be it in big pharmaceuticals. How about being a financial advisor? Is continuous learning an aspect of being a financial advisor even?
Yes. There is so much that time teaches you, right, in any career, and particularly in this one, having seen many, many different events, good and bad, over a period of time in markets. And so there is this gained cumulative knowledge that is, I think, very valuable. And then there's always something new to be learned, and there is always a new mistake to be made. I've learned that as well,
sure.
Right? Just when you think you've made them all, there's a new one. So
I know that feeling.
So it is, it's continual learning. And like I said, every day brings something new.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. And let's peel the onion a little bit more on that, because you said you do love this aspect of every day being somewhat different. Are there a couple of other things that you really, Jill, it's so apparent in just a few minutes we've chatted, you love being a financial advisor. You're outstanding at it, but you love it, certainly. Another thing or two that you really love about being a financial analyst, a financial advisor?
I think I love seeing the tangible outcomes over a period of years to see how you have really helped someone or a group is very, very rewarding. And our whole team takes our responsibility very seriously, because it is a very serious responsibility. You know, we're not doing surgery, but it's people's lives, and it's an awesome weight. It's an awesome responsibility. So I would say that, and I am fortunate that I have many, many wonderful clients, and to hear someone thank me for doing my job. You know, and I'll say, you don't have to thank me, you're paying me, right? It's very rewarding.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned this, because we have heard horror stories the last even few years of financial advisors who have been scrupulous or not scrupulous, et cetera, et cetera, and really ruined a lot of people's lives, certainly. So the decisions you make, and even if someone is doing something, a financial advisor, in good faith, sometimes they can make really bad decisions that could negatively impact a whole lot of people. So what you're doing is just fantastic, certainly. Now, whether you're a Franciscan brother of Brooklyn, a great financial advisor like you, there's no perfect vocation. Is there a big challenge or two, maybe, you know, being a financial advisor?
It's stressful. It's a very stressful, stressful job. And some days the totality of really, we all carry other things to work with us every day, figuratively speaking. Some days the totality of the stress can seem like an awful lot. I would say that's the challenging aspect, but then you remember why you're doing it.
It's too bad our listeners cannot see you. You look so calm and relaxed on this Saturday morning, but how do you deal with the wild swings of the financial market? I certainly don't have the stomach for this. I could never be a financial advisor. How do you deal with this, Jill?
Certainly, there are very stressful times, and there are times when it might not appear that it's stressful, that it's actually more stressful, right? You know, that's the Buffettism, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. But for me personally, and based on the investment philosophy that we share as a team, you know, we are investors and we understand what we're buying. We don't, you know, there is a lot out in the marketplace where you can be promised great return and little risk, and everyone should know that that is not true, right? With anything you do in life, and particularly in this industry, you know, there's a direct relationship and there's always a risk, but you know, if it's educated, it's educated work. It's not guesswork. We don't look at the stock market as a monolithic being with, you know, its own heart and soul. It's individual, you know, companies. And for everyone like you, right, you run a division basically right now in your job, right? And if you run your division well, good things happen.
Exactly.
If you don't, bad things happen.
Sure. Sure. Wow. That's great to know. And it's so interesting because, again, the work that you do for so many is so wonderful. Now, we're going to shift gears just a little bit because month of April here, month of May, month of mothers. You are a wonderful mother as well as being a great financial advisor. Do you find it at all challenging being a working mother? And if so, how, Jill?
So yes, is the easy answer. It's a challenge. It's a fact. No one can do everything. Fact. So there are choices that you make, and there's always give and take. There are trade-offs in all things. It's particularly true. So anyone that is listening and either juggling this juggle, it's difficult, but it is very worthwhile. And you do have to remember, and I'm not great at remembering this, is that you can't do it all. And that's very important. And it is, you know, I've done this, as I told you, for a long time, and there were many fewer females participating in this industry when I was younger, and you just do it and you compete, and it's about competing and if you work at it. But I do feel that, you know, sometimes it's a little more challenging than it might be for a male counterpart.
Wow. Okay. Now, if I recall correctly, you've been blessed with two children, Jill?
I do.
What are their ages?
My son George is 12, and my first child is my daughter Tess, and she is 14.
Wow. Okay. So it's not like they're on their own. I mean, they still need a lot of support from you, certainly.
They do. And it's one piece of advice I would also give is to anyone, not just in this field, but juggling the juggle, is that when they are younger, when they are babies, that's when you put your hard work in, because it's, you know, sad to miss the fun of a mommy and me class, but the emotional need is not what it is as a young person is maturing.
Sure. Oh, what great advice for our working mothers out there. Sadly, Jill, we could talk all day. We've only got about 7 minutes. I've got some important questions still to ask you, because not only is National Financial Advisor Day coming up on the 18th of April, this is Easter weekend, being Holy Saturday and tomorrow Easter Sunday. So we're going to shift gears one more time. This may sound like a really stupid question, and I've asked plenty of those in my years, thank God for money here, but is there at all a connection between religion and financial advice?
I think there is, in that for all people of faith, whether, you know, my faith is Catholicism, but of any faith, that connection is pervasive through everything you do in your life. So to me, there's no separation there. Particularly as a financial advisor, perhaps where it has been the most helpful is that, you know, when you mentioned unscrupulous individuals, you know, if you have a true faith and you're trying to live as Jesus, you know, would want, you're not stealing, for starters, and you're also putting others ahead of yourself. So you truly are looking out for your clients' best interests at your own, you know, they come first, truly. So perhaps that fiduciary duty that we say we have as investment advisors, you know, is really, in a way, an extension of, you know, my Catholic faith.
Wow. And this is amazing. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are mentors for you, are guideposts for you. Let's say when you're doing your investing, I mean, does this make sense?
Well, meaning,
am I understanding this correctly?
Meaning that you're always going to do the right thing. You know, I don't know how those four did it. Stock picking, I'm sure there was some kind of, somebody was making a buck back then. So, but you're always looking to do the right thing. In particular, right now, there is a large emphasis on socially conscious investing and that kind of thing. So for those clients with whom we work that have, you know, their socially conscious emphasis is Catholicism. I know a lot about that and the way that the Catholic Church advises us to do that.
Wow, oh, that's amazing, certainly. So indeed, we can say clearly your faith, Jill, impacts your career. There's no doubt about that. And that is so wonderful, no doubt about it. April 18, Tuesday, not that far away, National Financial Advisor Day. How would you share with our loyal listeners? Because I can tell you, I didn't know until very recently that this day even existed. So how would you recommend our listeners and Greg here, you know, celebrate this day?
I don't know how long this day has existed, Greg, because somebody made it up along the way. But but anyway, I would say for anyone, you know, since money, we all need it, right? It's not the object of life, but we all need it, is to really think about this, that time is your greatest friend when investing. Time is your greatest friend. So on April 18th, I guess, take some time to really think about your own financial P&L and how much are you spending versus how much are you saving. And just put some aside, you know, if you work with an advisor, the most important thing is that you trust them. Number one thing.
Wow.
Trust them. And then just put something aside and keep doing that. And over time, you'll look back and you'll be very surprised, hopefully in a pleasant way.
Oh, that is terrific advice. No question about this. Jill, you've given us so many nuggets this past half hour. We can't thank you enough. I'm sure the listeners out there, maybe there's a few who are saying, you know what? I want to follow in Jill's footsteps here and be a financial advisor. Maybe a couple are saying, gee, I'd love to contact Jill to get a little advice. How can our loyal listeners best contact you for more of these great insights you've shared today, please?
So I am available, if that's the right verb, on LinkedIn. You know, you could search me there, Jill Arkwright Harvey, CFA. And I have a web page, I guess it's called, you know, for it. If you search up Jill Arkwright Harvey at William Blair.
Terrific. Listeners, let me give you the full spelling. So you'll have a Jill, J-I-L-L, Arkwright, A-R-K-W, R-I-G-H-T, Harvey, H-A-R-V-E-Y, Jill Arkwright Harvey, CFA, standing for Chartered Financial Analyst. Don't hesitate to reach out to her via LinkedIn. Keep this conversation going, certainly. And I know some of you may be even thinking, gee, I think it's come to the time where I need to really get a financial analyst and an advisor, certainly. And Jill could give you some great advice as to how to do that, or maybe even she can be of help to you. Jill Arkwright, Harvey CFA, we can't thank you enough for gracing us on this Easter weekend, certainly, Holy Saturday being today, and also in anticipation of April 18, National Financial Advisor Day. This is the first time we've ever done a show with a financial advisor. We thank you for breaking ground, breaking the glass ceiling, as you've been doing your whole life. So again, many, many thanks. We wish you a very, very blessed Easter, and certainly enjoy, especially April the 18th.
Thank you, Greg. It was fun. Thank you.
Pleasure and fun was all ours. Listeners, guess what? We want to wish you a very, very blessed Easter, certainly tomorrow, and also for our Jewish friends out there. I know Passover is underway, so we hope that you're enjoying the Passover season as well. Sorry to say, we are out of time. Brother Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Jill Arkwright Harvey does, you'll say, thank God. For Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.